so they conversed together. But in the meanwhile, on to Ithaca ran the staunch ship which brought Telemachus and all his crew from Pylos. When they had entered the deep harbor, they hauled the black-hulled ship ashore, and stately squires carried their armor, and straightway bore the goodly gifts to Clytius' house. And now they sent a page to the palace of Odysseus, to tell the news to heedful Penelope, how Telemachus was at the farm, but had ordered that the ship sail to the city, lest the stately queen should be alarmed and shed a swelling tear. So the two met, the herald and the noble swineherd, upon the self-same errand, bearing tidings to the queen. And when they reached the palace of the noble king, the page said to Penelope, in hearing of her maids, "O queen, your son has come from Pylos." But the swineherd stood beside Penelope, and so reported all that her dear son had bade him say. Then, when he had delivered all his charge, he departed to his swine and left the court and hall. But the suitors grew dismayed and downcast in their hearts, and came forth from the hall past the great courtyard wall, and there before the gate sat down to counsel. And first Eurymachus, the son of Polybus, addressed them. "Friends, here is a monstrous action impudently brought to pass, this journey of Telemachus. We said it should not be. Come, then, and let us launch the best black ship we have, and get together fishermen for rowers, quickly to carry tidings to our friends, and bid them sail for home with all speed they may." The words were hardly uttered, when Amphinomus, turning in his place, sighted the ship in the deep harbor, some of her crew furling the sail, and some with oars in hand. Then, lightly laughing, thus he called to his companions, "No need to send a message now, for here they are. Some god has told our plot, or our men saw the vessel pass and could not catch her." He spoke, and all arose and hastened to the shore. Swiftly the black-hulled ship was hauled ashore, and stately squires carried their armor. The men themselves went in a body to the assembly, and suffered no one, either young or old, to join them there. And thus Antinous, Eupeithes' son, addressed them. "Strange how the gods help this man out of danger. By day our sentries sat upon the windy heights, posted in close succession, and after sunset we did not pass the night ashore, but sailed our swift ship on the sea, awaiting sacred dawn, lying in wait to seize and slay Telemachus. Meantime, some god has brought him home. Then let us here contrive a miserable ending for Telemachus, not letting him escape. For while he lives, nothing, be sure, will prosper. He is himself shrewd in his thoughts and plans, and people here proffer us no more aid. Come then, before he gathers the Achaeans in a council. Backward he will not be, I think. He will be full of wrath, and rising, he will tell to all how we contrived his instant death, but could not catch him. And when men hear our evil deeds, they will not praise them, but they may cause us trouble and drive us from our country, and we may have to go away into the land of strangers. Let us be quick, then, and seize him in the fields, far from the city, or on the road, at least, and let us take possession of all his substance and his wealth, sharing all suitably among ourselves. The house, however, we might let his mother keep, or him who marries her. If this plan does not please you, and you will let him live to hold his father's fortune, then let us not devour his store of pleasant things by gathering here, but from his own abode let each man make his wooing and press his suit with gifts. So may Penelope marry the man who gives her most and comes with fate to favor."